season, we have not focused a lot on the moving of the Holy Spirit. We have not focused a lot on thinking about the Holy Spirit. To some degree, too, for a lot of us, the concept of the Holy Spirit seems far-fetched. It's way over here, you know? But the truth of the matter is that the Holy Ghost is the one who is right here with us today, living Christ through us. That's why the Bible said that Jesus said, I have to go so that he, the Comforter, can come, right? And for many folks, unfortunately, we don't think of the Holy Ghost as a person. When you listen to a lot of Christians today, they refer to the Holy Ghost most time as an it, something without life.
As a ghost, as a vapor, as a mist.
Yes, or something that doesn't have no life, or someone who doesn't have any form of cognitive ability.
I was reading this morning. It's kind of funny, but I read Andrew Murray, and he was discussing the Holy Spirit this morning. Actually, what I received out of it was God's power is in and through the Holy Spirit.
Definitely.
So, yeah. It's quite.
Yes.
I mean. That's God's power.
Yes.
That's one of the three.
Yes.
Right?
You will never see a move of God in Scripture.
Without the Holy Spirit, because Jesus says you can do nothing
without
for me. And the part he's talking about is the Holy Spirit is
definitely
the part that gives us what we need to be more like Christ.
Definitely. In fact, in the book of Isaiah, the Bible said, God hath anointed Jesus Christ. I think it's Isaiah 11. God hath anointed Jesus Christ with the spirit of power without measure. Even Jesus, when he got baptized, you will see the Bible said the Spirit of God came descended upon him as a dove. So the in my little understanding of Scripture, I would agree with Brother Larry that the power of God is locked up in the Holy Spirit. And so if we're ever going to see God move in our life as we are, as we pray oftentimes and ask God to do things on our behalf, we have to start to acknowledge the person of the Holy Ghost. That's why Jesus said to the Pharisee, you can blaspheme against me as much as you want. Talk all that you want to talk about me, right? But because if you remember when they said that Jesus cast out demon by Beelzebub, Jesus said, if I do it by Beelzebub, who does your son do it by? And Jesus went on to say, listen, you can do all manner of things against the son, but be careful how you speak against the Holy Spirit, because it is through the Holy Ghost that we are going to see God move in our life. And if you don't believe on the Holy Spirit, you're technically, as much as you want to pray to God, you're technically not going to see God in action in your life. I want to bring you back to show you. In the book of Genesis chapter 1, correct? That's beginning, correct? When we read it, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and without void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. What come next? Then the Spirit of the Lord God did what? Move upon the face of the waters. Right? And then God began to say, let there be. Now watch the flow. The Spirit first move, and then in that movement, God began to say, let there be. So God's action, God's ability to do things, if I may put it that way, is tied up in the person of the Holy Spirit.
Which
is God.
Which leads me to what all we're talking about. It's clear as day that is the side of God that is his power.
Yes.
That's why all things, that's why he says, Paul says it numerous times, always pray in the Spirit.
Definitely.
Pray in the Spirit.
Yes.
Pray in the Spirit.
Yes.
And the reason is because praying in the Spirit is the power.
Yes.
That makes us useful.
Useful.
What do you mean by that?
What it means by praying in the Spirit is acknowledging, number one, this is what it means, is number one, acknowledging who you're praying to. Because, and then the second part, when you acknowledge who you're praying to, then you start to pray according to the Spirit. So what that means is that many times when we go to God, sometimes we can be selfish, right? And we want to, most time, tend to want to pray just about what we are experiencing. Right? When God is saying, no, understand what is it that I want you to pray about? Because the Bible said we are to be, Proverbs chapter 3, be led by the Spirit. That's what he says. We must do all things through the Holy Ghost. Right from Old Testament, from Genesis to Revelation, it talks about we are to walk through the Holy Spirit. Go
That's
ahead.
That's why when you say the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost,
yeah,
that
It's part of the DNA. So most time, as I said, Sister Susan, is that many folks think that the Holy Ghost is a myth. So they don't even can conceive the idea that the Holy Ghost will speak to your mind. He will tell you things. He will reveal things to you.
I know that.
So that's what it means when it says pray in the Holy Ghost. As the Holy Ghost reveals things to you, that's how you pray. Even when it doesn't line up so much with what you want to pray about, but you pray as the God revealed things to you. The first part of this passage of scripture, verses 1 through to verse 8, is where Jesus started off by praying, teaching them how to pray. First you pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Notice, that's where they start. Thy kingdom come. Kingdom talks about the rulership of God, how God wants things to happen. And then part, secondly, thy will be done. Not our will, but your will be done. So if you pray that prayer, God is going to reveal, God has to reveal what his kingdom is or what his will is, because we don't know. And so for many people, because we have had God so much so distant from us, we don't understand the relationship part of God, where he's right there in your living room with you, even though you don't feel him.
He's got the best seat in the house.
The best seat in the house. He's in the struggles when we're going through them, even though we don't look like it. And because we are so, I want to use the word religious, in a sense, for many folks, is as long as I go to church, I'm there. No.
No, you God, believe it. You always believe.
And take it another step further, not just believe, but seek for the relationship part. If you're in love with somebody, all right, I'm going to use that. If you're in love with somebody, you always want to, you're on the phone till 3 a.m. in the morning. Hey, boo. How you doing? Not saying nothing. You just want to hear their voice.
That's a messed up name.
Or something of that sort. If you love your family, you want to be around your family, correct?
Yeah, right.
It's the same with God. God wants to be in relationship with us.
Have an affair.
There you go.
Have an affair.
Be there with God. Be in God present. You don't like that one. You don't like the affair because the affair kind of sound like you're cheating.
Listen, what does it say?
Well,
adultery?
No, I think
that's what he means is a love affair.
It's a love affair. That's what he meant, the love affair.
Okay.
And we ought to strive for that. Not just being in church on a Sunday morning, but when we get up and go home, am I aware of God in my midst? And that is what the Holy Ghost does. He brings God to our understanding. Because one of the things that I want you to understand, we cannot understand God without the revelation of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the things of God, the natural man cannot comprehend the things of God because they are like foolishness to him.
Right.
It has to be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul, in one of his writings, says no man can curse Jesus in the Holy Ghost, and no man can actually call Jesus Lord without the Holy Spirit. That's how important the Holy Ghost is. You can't even say God or Jesus Christ is my God without that being something that was propelled inward by the Holy Spirit. So even when we are not even aware of it, aware of him, the Holy Ghost, I'm still calling him it, aware of him, he's still at work in our life. So if he can work that much when we're not aware of him, just imagine if we start to understand him a little bit more and say, Holy Ghost, I want you to reveal yourself more to me. I want to be in fellowship with you a little bit more. I want to understand who you are more. Can you imagine the things that he will do when you really start to pay attention to him more and more in your life? Amen?
Amen.
So God said,
amen.
It's having admiration and things for who God is,
yes,
and the power the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
If we only knew the gift,
I was going there.
Get the gift is
yep,
and praying in the Holy Spirit. I believe part of it's in agreement with God's word.
Yep. Yeah.
As you agree in God's word, He will fill us with the Holy Spirit. It's not the incidents with the man too, the young man, or the guy that wanted to buy the Holy Spirit.
Oh yes, that's it. That's Philip when he went
by a gift from God.
That's Acts. That is Simon the Sorcerer in Acts chapter. Is it 5 when he wants to pay for the Holy Ghost? Like, because he saw Paul and Silas lay their hands on folks and they get healed. And because he's a sorcerer that was the believe in paganistic type worship, he believed you can buy the Holy Ghost. You can't. And that's part of my sermon. The Holy Ghost is a gift, right? God said, if you ask, in Acts chapter 2, Peter said to them, when the day of Pentecost will come, have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit? Right? So even though he's a person, God gave him to us, or he decided to share us with us in the form of a gift. Why a gift? Because human being is sinful, correct? And we can never earn God. You can never earn, you can never be good enough to earn God, right? So it has to be a gift. It has to be a gift. Otherwise, some of us who are very boastful would say that I paid for him, and so he's mine. And sometimes we become very ownership-wise, you know? Is mine and mine alone. There are some Christians like that who believe that God is for them and for them alone. And so God said, no, this is going to be, he's going to be a gift. You can never be too good enough to earn him. You can never pay for him. Right? And you can never say in your language, he belongs to me, he is mine, in terms of possessiveness. Selfish possessiveness, like he's mine. God said, I'm sharing myself with you in the form of a gift. The same way Jesus Christ gave us grace. You can never work to earn grace. Never. You could try as hard as you want. It's never going to happen.
Works don't get you there.
Works don't get you there. That's it's right.
That's the whole point of grace.
Thank you. You can believe it. The Bible said, any man who comes to God must, number one, the first thing, believe.
That I am.
That he is, whatever he is. That's where it starts. I believe in God the Father. I believe in God the Son. Believe. Full stop. No give up nothing yet. No stop doing nothing yet. Just start.
And part of that is in what you're talking about, is that's where they stop.
Thank you.
They don't add also the Holy Spirit to that same thing you're talking about.
And that he is a rewarder of them who diligently
seek him.
So when I believe, that's where you start. Many folks want to start somewhere else by trying to get things together. No, you can't. You start by believing wherever you are in your walk, wherever you are right now in your present status, in your present state, where whatever is going on. God said, if you want me in your life, you start by saying, Lord, I believe. Okay, and then once you believe, that give God the leeway to draw closer to you. Amen? Let me give you a story. You remember the eunuch who was traveling, and the Bible said he was reading the book of Isaiah. I'm the Ethiopian eunuch. He was reading the book of Isaiah, but he couldn't understand, but he believed. He wanted to believe. The Bible said God took Philip and attached Philip to the chariot to explain to him the things that he desired to believe. So once you start at believing point, it gives God the right now to draw close to you and begin to explain or bring understanding to our finite finite mind who cannot comprehend the fullness of God. And so when God come closer and begin to reveal these things to you, then God said, no, you need to diligently seek after him. Because what God is not going to do is constantly baby feed you, because he's a father. And you and I know any father or any good parent, you don't spoil a child, but you take care of the child. But you know, taking care of the child and spoiling the child is two totally different things.
Yeah.
Understand? Because this child, I'm taking care of you because you need to mature. And when you get to mature state, we'll be like, yeah, you need to go fend for yourself now. Get out my house. Go pay your own rent because I teach you enough. It's the same with God the Father. He pulled close to us and gently guide us to the place now that we have to now start seek after him to find the things. So in other words, it's like he put it, what's the game that you, what's it, Treasure Hunt. That's the game. You know, you place things at different place and you drop clues for the folks to find it. But you're never going to walk them to it and say, here it is.
That's what parents do today. That's what the problem is.
That's true.
The people who are out there with the egg hunts cheating with their children.
Cheating. Yeah, we don't. So God says, this is how I'm going to lead you. But then you got to pick it up. And he lead us through the person of the Holy Spirit. So every believer should ask God, God, reveal or fill me with your Holy Spirit. Because otherwise, we're never going to be able to fully comprehend. It doesn't matter how brilliant we are. We can have all the doctor's degree in the world that we can have. We will never be able to comprehend the fullness of the scripture without the person of the Holy Spirit. Right now, this Bible is having brilliant scholars, tipsy turban, they can't understand to the point.
Well, now I feel better.
we would also be dead.
We'd be also be dead.
Without the Spirit, we're dead.
We're dead.
We can't do any work for God.
Because the Bible says it is the Spirit of God that gives life. It is the Spirit that quickens. Quickening means give life. It is the Spirit that does that. It is actually, and not to cut you off, Pastor Larry, did you know the scripture said that before it is the Holy Ghost who even draw man to God? Like, it is the Holy Spirit who will lead somebody to hear the word of God. It is the Holy Spirit who will soften the heart of somebody to receive the word of God.
That's what he did to me. Trust me. That's what he did to me.
Because I was going to elaborate on that. The Bible also says that you don't choose me, but I have chosen you.
And
the choosing is the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He just said, you know, what you just said, Sue, that leading.
Yes.
That was the Holy Spirit, the power of God.
Yep.
Calling you.
You.
Because
yep.
Why God chose you.
Yep.
For his purposes.
Yep.
We don't understand why. I bet you don't even understand why.
Still don't.
But God knows.
No. God knows. Because
God knows all things.
Yes.
He's all powerful, all loving.
All loving.
And I can't help but wonder why he wants such a grumpy old bag like me in the first place.
You see, because and all of us have
somebody
that.
Somebody a little less grumpy?
One more quick thing.
Because he loves you.
Okay.
One more quick thing. You guys ever see the movie Jerry Maguire? And he tells the woman, he goes, "You complete me."
Yeah.
That is so awesome because when you apply that to God, you then become complete.
That's true.
Because of God through the Holy Spirit.
That's true.
Because we were created for him.
Yep.
By him.
By him. Revelation said that we were created for his glory. By God, for God. Not for our own selfish demise. Not for the things that we want to do. But we are created for God and by God. Amen?
And
so
who is God?
Who is God?
Love.
Love.
So what should we be doing?
Love.
That's the first and second commandment.
Love every man.
Love God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and with all thy soul.
And love thy neighbor.
And love thy neighbor.
As thy self.
Yep. And the guy says to me, goes, you mean the guy next door? I said, no. By neighbor, he means all.
All. All people.
Because he created all people.
All people.
I was going
to
say.
Yep. By neighbor, is it? Yeah, not the one beside
you. His name?
I don't know. I don't know.
Grouchy guy next door, him.
Another point.
That's what they're saying about me, the grouchy lady over there.
Another point. So the Holy Ghost is a gift. That's point number one. We understand that, correct? No, point number one is that he's a person. Don't ever forget that he is a person. He's not a dead icon like this piece of wood. He's a person. We do not know what shape he is in. We've never seen him before. But he has consciousness. He has a mind of his own. He thinks. He moves. He operates. And he is all powerful. Number two is that he is a gift from God to us. Right? And let's just rephrase that because he is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Right? So God decided then to share God's self with us through the person of the Holy Spirit. Okay?
So we see God every day, we just don't recognize him.
But because if you are a believer and I'm a believer.
I don't see God, I feel him.
And we are moving, you're moving in God, I'm moving in God. That is God moving through us. But we can't recognize him. And the reason why we can't recognize him is because we have not spent a lot of time, as I said, really asking God, Holy Spirit, help me to identify you.
Right.
Help me to identify you. Where are you at this moment? Where do you want me to go? Many folks, even myself, sometimes when I'm praying, I'm going to be honest. Sometimes I forgot to say, Holy Spirit, lead me today in thy path.
In thy will.
In thy will. Sometimes it's just, Lord, thank you for waking me up this morning as I go on the road. Be with me. Guide me. It's all about me. And never, God, guide me into thy will for today. Am I lying on my own neighbors? Because even this morning,
what you got for me today, God?
90% would say, even our prayer this morning would be like, God, thank you for waking me up this morning. Right? And then the next point that I want to bring out, and I know Brother Larry jump ahead because he kind of...
I'm sorry.
Now, what you're good is that the Holy Ghost is power. You cannot talk about or touch the Holy Ghost, interact with the Holy Ghost without experiencing power. What is power? Power is the ability or the authority to do something, right? Donald Trump has power to declare, well, now Congress have power to declare war, so let me choose something else. Donald Trump has power to declare emergency, national emergency, because the law says he can do that. So he doesn't need no one approval to say we have a national emergency here, right? The Congress have the power. Donald Trump, too, the president, too, has the power to declare war in time of emergency. He can buy power, his veto power. He has veto power, so he can veto something that they try to pass, all right? It's the same. Power is the ability to do something. God has the ability to do all things and everything, He does that through the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
So the problem we're having is not with God. Is with us, can't believe in that God can do it. We just can't fathom in our mind that God can heal the sick, that God can raise the dead, that God can cleanse the leper, and he does all those things in the Old Testament and in the New Testament when he was here. Us today, we have become so sophisticated, God can't handle the stress that I'm going through, so I'm just going to blow my mind. No, that's not true. If you, the Bible said, cast all your cares on him, we mean all your worries, all your anxiety, all of the stuff that you're going through in life. Jesus said, cast those on me, because I am your burden bearer. I will carry them for you. Right? So all the messes, all the hunger sometimes, I know. All of that stuff that we go through. All the grumpiness, all the headaches, all the pain, all of that stuff. He said, listen, bring that stuff to me. Because I have power to handle it. If we try to deal with it, like Brother Larry said, we're going to try to pull somebody over and give him one, two. Right? Because the human beings are broken. And that's just the truth. And without God, we are nothing but a mess.
And that's a fact.
Yeah.
And that's a fact.
That's why a lot of people in this world are just going in every direction.
Yeah.
And they're lost.
They're lost. So without guidance, we are nothing but a mess.
Lost.
But Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are labor. I never laid it. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Because watch this. He said, my yoke is easy. Which yoke you know is easy?
Wow. The only yoke I know comes eggs.
Thank you. And my burden is light. Which burden you know is light? Burdens are heavy load. Burdens get people jumping off buildings because they can't bear the burden anymore. Burden of people cussing, fighting, doing all the crazy stuff. But Jesus said, give me your mess and take mine because mine is light. In other words, what he's trying to tell you is that I can deal with all that stuff. It's just you having a problem believing that I can. And that's where the problem is.
Not fully turning it over.
Because a lot of times man's idea is not the same as God's idea when it comes to the mess to begin with.
That's true.
There is sometimes when God wants you to see the mess that's before you was created by you, and he wants you to learn how to clean up that mess. So that's not to say that he's just going to wipe the slate clean.
No, he's not. He's not going to wipe. Remember I said.
Is a father.
He's a father. Remember I said, God doesn't spoil us. Okay? Because he even said to his disciple, if you go and break the law, he said you're going to feel the consequence of it.
It's your choice.
Okay? But while you're in the prison, I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to still supply you with grace. All right? So God doesn't spoil us. But the thing is, what I'm trying to get to us is that we don't have to be stressed. God never called us to be stressed. We don't have to be like the world as people without hope.
Always going to be in my hands.
Yeah, the moment you become stressed is because you take that thing up by yourself.
Yeah.
You haven't given it to the Lord yet. Mm-hmm. The moment you lose hope is because you haven't really surrendered to Jesus Christ as yet. Because he said, I have come to give you life. And that also that your joy might be full. And in the same breath, he's saying you're going to go through struggles and tribulation and trial, but be of good courage. That's why I tell you, this man blew my mind. At one point, you're telling me I'm going to go through trial and tribulation, and then you're telling me to be of good courage. The two doesn't work together. But that's because I'm looking at it from a humanistic point of view. Because from God's eyesight, all of that things can be worked out.
Yeah.
He knows the end from the beginning. And that's why he said, don't trust man.
Yeah.
Don't put your arms or your trust in flesh, which means man, because the arm of flesh will fail. Put your trust where?
In God.
In God. Because God is able to do all things. A songwriter put it this way, he specializes in the things that looks impossible.
It's amazing how big this world is. He's been pretty busy.
But yes, still, he still has time to reach down to your little bit of space that you have.
You know, a lot of times and say, I walk with pain. I have a lot of pain. I say, God, I know you're busy today. Can you just take some of it away today? And I'll pray up to get out the rest.
To get out the rest.
I'll walk the rest.
And you'll
out.
Be surprised how much he was right there with you.
It does work.
It's right there with you. So, as we close today, I hope you understand that number one, the Holy Ghost is a person. So we're going to stop referring to him as this thing that is way over yonder that we can never reach. You know, he's never it. He's a person, just not flesh and blood, but he's a person. He has feeling. He has emotion. All right. If I had time, I would go through some of the scriptures that shows you about the emotional side of the Holy Spirit. All right. He can get upset. Jesus warned him, don't blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. All right? Yeah.
You'll do that.
He has power. He is, in other words, as Brother Larry put it, he is God's activeness, if I may use that word. Is that a word?
He's got power. power in action.
He's got power in action. So anywhere where you see God moving, that's the Holy Ghost. Right? He is a gift to us. God decided, I'm going to share a part of me with humanity. And if I had time, I'd go back to show you from Genesis where that took place, when the Bible said God stooped down and breathed into man the bread of life. Because the word for spirit actually means the breath of God or wind of God, right? God breathed into man the bread of life, right? So he is God power. He is a person. He is God gift to us, which means God share himself with us. And he is powerful. And with that being said, all human being, all Christian, I should say, should seek for the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Right? And we're not talking about being fanatics and jumping up and down our stuff. I'm just talking about the whole fact of you being understanding who God Christ is in your life. When he comes in your life, he does come with gifts. Speaking in tongues is a gift. He comes with the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, happiness, forgiveness, all that good stuff. Right? So if you have the Holy Ghost indwelling within you, you are going to live those fruits. And that's what going to let me know, Sister Susan, if you are filled with the Holy Ghost, because I can't see him. Is when I see you being persistent in prayer, when I see you overcoming tribulation, when I see you, you know, living holy, living just, living right, loving folks, even when they're not lovable. And I know, trust me. And stuff. And then, as I close, and then I'm going to have Brother Larry, the last thing, is that he gives us gifts unto man. So, which means the power to lay hands on the sick is a gift. Healing is a gift. Word of knowledge is a gift. Word of being faithful. There are some folks who just have this strong faith. It's a gift. Some folks love to give. It's a gift. Some folks have the gift of just comforting people. That's the Holy Ghost doing all that work through men for one purpose, for the edifying of the church, so that we can glorify God. Amen?
Amen.
Speaking of the Spirit, when the disciples grew up with Christ, and then he said to them, he filled them actually with the Holy Spirit. And then what was first the Spirit came. Second, what was the second thing he did that happened? Go.
Yes.
Action. Go.
Yes.
Go forth and make disciples.
And make disciples. Yep. That's true. Because he even tell them, wait at Jerusalem until you are filled. Don't do anything. Because you can't even live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. wait at Jerusalem until I endue you with the Holy Ghost, or power from on high, the scripture says. What it really means, infill you with the Holy Spirit. And then when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, then you go. And when Acts chapter 2 happens, the Bible says when the day of Pentecost, God, they were waiting, fully come. They were in the upper room in one accord, and then the Holy Ghost, like a wind or a sound, like cloven tongues of fire, the scripture said to be exact, fell upon them, and they preached the gospel in the language of the people. The Bible used the word tongues. But when you study it, it was at the time in Jerusalem, there were nation people gathered from all nation.
So all language.
Everyone that, not everyone, but every nation that represented in Jerusalem at the time heard the gospel being preached to them by these folks at the upper room in their native language. It was a miracle.
Yeah,
the Bible said over 3,000 people blew their mind to the point. Like, over 3,000 people gave their life to the Lord.
How on earth would you not believe that, right?
3,000. Yep, 3,000. So
they call them Hebrews.
There were Hebrew and there were an Aramaic and a lot.
These Hebrews speaking our own language.
Speaking. Yep. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. He does miracle. So whatever it is that you believe in God for today, as long as it is in the will of God, trust God to work it out. And whatever you're going through in life, God says, I am going to work it out. Can we stand for prayer as we close? Any question before we pray? Any question?
Lord, I am always with you.
Always. Even to the end of the earth. Hallelujah. Father, today we give you thanks. We acknowledge, Almighty God, that you are with us always. Father, we confess that we have not spent a lot of time really being in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And for some of us, God, he has been this object or figment of our imagination. But we thank you today, God, that you have revealed to us that the Holy Ghost is not just a figment of our imagination, that the Holy Spirit is God. He is God and he is with us, working things out. He is all powerful. He is your gift. You have decided to share yourself with us, Almighty God. And we thank you for that. So, Holy Spirit, I ask that you continue day by day to fill us with you, Holy Spirit. And as you fill us with you, we ask, God, that you lead us into your will for the day and for our life, Almighty God. Bless everyone that is here today, God. Let them feel your presence. Let them feel your anointing. God, let them go home feeling revived, refreshed, knowing that God is on my side. And doesn't matter what the circumstances are, God is right there with me, working it out. And so, Father God, I speak peace over everyone. I speak love. I speak hope. I speak, God, that you reveal yourself to us continually in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you today.
Bless you and keep you too. Right.
God bless. Thank you for good coming.
Yo, it's crazy. Yeah,
it's freezing.
It's freezing.
No. Put them on my neck.
Well, should I go back down? And I'm talking about the, yeah.
Just quick announcement.
Go back
if
down.
Anyone
that
takes offering,
talking to me. Tell me, kid. Go ahead, change your
clothes and come
down.
Back to church.
That's right.
That's
and
good. I'm glad you come. If anyone takes offering, the offering plate is in the back.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
We're here every Sunday. So.
I'm just upstairs. I just slide on down.
Shorter than I am, you know that.
Where's Dave Jr. this morning?
I don't know. Was that the house?
Did you go?
Was that the house?
Was that the house when I left?
Did I see anything? You clarify?
You gave his wife
was
it?
No.
I don't know what they was doing.
I tried to be simple.
You didn't go there, is that?
What's your name?
I'm Rick.
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 Yes.
Lulu.
Did you go?
Yeah.
For a little while.
That's cool.
You weren't there.
You know, I walk in the door and come over there. And
even Rachel wasn't there.
Open the door. You know, it's like
I went for a couple hours. The Holy Spirit is telling me what to do. I was just up and everything else.
Change the clothes, get comfortable, and go back down. And that's exactly what I did.
They were going to go do that.